to Acts. Started to send you to Exodus. Acts. Acts chapter 17 is my text of choice this morning. And it's a delight to be back at Faithway Baptist Church and to be in on a week where you're going to get that other property sold. In fact, I was wondering, we hadn't talked about it in a while, and I was wondering last night as I was driving up here if that had happened, and here you pop up and tell us that it's done. And so that's exciting. I'm very thankful for the fact the church is continuing to blossom and grow, and what you've done with the property here just looks great, just super good. And we look forward to having Faith Music Trio with us at the National Sword Conference. They've been singing for us for years, and we're delighted to have them again this year. Brother David will be our pianist, as he has been for a long time, and that's coming up just 3 weeks from tomorrow, and it's coming at us. And after all that we went through in the pandemic and just all of that, we're glad to be back in North Carolina where we've got a big auditorium. Question is, now is anybody going to come? We hope so. But, you know, we're all kind of in a mode of building back and putting things back in place. And so we're looking forward to that and so glad for the privilege Brother Joe and I have to be here. He'll be coming in tomorrow and we'll have a good time. Brother Joe Arthur is an experience, so you just get ready for it. We're going to have a big time tomorrow night and look forward to the service again tonight. Well, let's read the text and let's get rolling here. Acts chapter 17, and I began reading right at the top of the chapter. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. Now, all of these towns are in Greece, not in hot water, but in Greece, all right? They're in a country called Greece. You know it's still there. There was a synagogue of the Jews there, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason, certain brethren of the rulers of the city, saying, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. They're right about that. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Now, it's a long chapter, and I'll not read all of it, but just to tell you that the entire chapter is set in the nation of Greece. And you can outline the chapter like this, geographically actually. The first 9 verses are set in the city of Thessalonica. The next verses, 10 through 14, are set in Berea. And then the rest of the chapter from verse 15 forward is set in the city of Athens. Now, it's been my privilege over the years. I've been to Greece 12 different times, probably, and again, this is a bit of a guesstimate, but I'm guessing I've probably spent 30 days all total in those 12 visits in the country. I've been to Thessalonica, I don't know, I've forgotten how many times, but every single time to Athens, which is where everybody wants to go when you go to Greece. It is obviously the main tourist attraction there, and I can tell you, because I've been there, this nation at the time of the setting in Scripture was a very pagan country, and it still is. Now, there are a few Christians there today, there were a few Christians there then, but it was a pagan country then, and it's a pagan country now. So when the preachers and their entourage of missionary workers, when they showed up and they began to win people to Christ, they began to go in even to the synagogues and preach the gospel, Some people were coming along, some people were getting saved, other people were getting upset. In fact, verse 6 says that the accusation was, these folks, they have turned some other places upside down and now they've come here. Now, understand the deal here. These folks in Greece, they're unsaved, they're living ungodly lives, but they think they're right side up. They think they are. In reality, they're upside down. And they call what they're getting from Paul and the others, they call it in one of the verses, this new doctrine. Verse 19, this new doctrine, they call it. Well, this new doctrine was upending their upside down world. Now, I haven't done it in a long time, but I remember as a kid, it was one of those stunts that you pulled every once in a while. You would dare your buddy to try to stand on his head, and then he would dare you, and you'd go up against a wall and try to stand on your head. Now, I tried that a time or two with not a great deal of success, but even when I was successful for a few seconds, I discovered that standing on my head, there were just all kinds of complications from that. My being was not built to be upside down. I don't do well like that. And neither does the world, neither does our society. Whenever God intended things, when God builds things, he plugs himself into the equation. He plugs his own way of doing things into the equation. One of the reasons why that we've had abortion on demand for 49 years is because that things got upside down. And the political things get upside down whenever the moral things are not included. I mean, you can make everything a political issue, I guess, but I keep saying, political or not, nobody gets a pass. We need to say to every single event, every single person, every single circumstance, listen, everything has to either be focused on and including God, or it's going to be left out. And if it gets left out, things are going to be upended and upside down in a hurry. It happens in any society, anywhere, just like it has happened in America. So here are these men, Paul and the others, they come on the scene and they begin getting results. Now, understand, they are moving that part of the world in the right direction. They're doing it without men, without media, without money, and without machinery. And yet they're getting it done. Now, I'm grateful for all of the stuff that I have to work with. I'm glad for all of the stuff that you have to work with here. But I'm telling you, if all of that went away, we could still do a lot of what we're supposed to be doing. And they've demonstrated that very clearly. Well, they started moving this upside down world toward getting right side up. I mean, trash, garbage, dirt, and all, they were moving them. And guess what? This upside down world got upset. Their attitude began to show in a hurry. And they began to deal with these movers and shakers, like a lot of the upside down world will deal with us over these next weeks and months, no doubt. What did they do? Well, they made accusations against them. Name calling, epithets, doing everything they could to smear them, disenfranchise them. Then that didn't work, so they physically assaulted them. Physically assaulted them. Violence. Not only that, but then they called the authorities in on them and began to try to work some legal maneuvers against them. All of that's in the text. Accusations, assaults, and the authorities, pulling all of that together against them. Now you say, what is going on with Paul and his crowd of workers, little crowd, what's going on with them? Well, they're people of faith. They've got faith down deep inside of them that has really altered their life, changed their life, made something of them that they were not before, and it stirs within them. Now, you know, there's nothing that quite so moves an individual and a person as getting the commitment to the Lord that you need to have and finding out the things that he tells us. I mean, there's something about that. It's driving, it's compelling, it's motivating. And these guys were stirred like that with their faith, and it produced a faithfulness in them that in turn stirred up some of the other people around them. And that faithfulness ultimately resulted in some fruitfulness as people began to be saved. And all of that stirred this opposition up. And so the upside down crowd, some of them getting right side up, but some of them not, and they really began to unleash themselves against the folks that were doing right. So we can expect some of that. Now, if we get things right side up, I'm talking about right here on Pollock Avenue in Evansville, in Indiana. I'm talking about when you do missionary work across the river in Henderson. I mean, you know, I grew up in Kentucky, so I can talk about this. Amen. Now, whenever we get things, we find things upside down, and we start trying to get it right side up. Here's what works. Right side up always comes about by conversion, by a real, genuine conversion, where that somebody, they're going along in their life, they're doing all kinds of things that are outside the boundaries of where they need to be. They have a confrontational meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody brings to them the message. Just like somebody brought it to me when I was nothing but a lad of a boy in these river bottoms down here near Paducah, and somebody came down that dirt road to the last farm on the road where we live with the message of Christ. My first exposure to the gospel, when I heard it, I knew that I needed it. I signed on. I put my trust in Christ. And that day, the Lord saved me. I became a Christian that very day, that hour. Now, everything starts with a conversion. I'm not talking about you reforming your ways. Now, Lord's going to have some ideas about how you conduct yourself. But it's not enough just to shape up the old ship. It's not enough to say, you know, I'm going to stop kicking the dog. I'm going to start being good to my mother-in-law. I'm going to start, paying that bill that I've been let go three or four. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff we can do to shape things up. But you're not going to go to heaven based on the reform and by the good habits that you develop. You can't get there like that. Salvation comes at the moment that any one of us realizes that we are a sinner and sin will ultimately condemn us to hell, and we don't have a way to manage that ourselves, but the Lord's already purchased for us what we need, and He will give it to us if we will trust Him for it. Now, salvation comes when we put our trust in the crucified and risen Christ. When you come to that place and you realize you cannot do it yourself, you cannot help yourself, you can be a member at Faithway, you can be a member of every church in Evansville, die and go to hell lost as a ball in high weeds because you can't get to church on your membership. You can't get to heaven on your membership, your church membership. You're not going to get to heaven on your baptism. You're not going to heaven taking communion, all those kind. I recommend baptism. Everybody ought to do it once they're saved. But baptism doesn't save. We get to heaven by that relationship that we establish when we get converted and come to Christ. Right side up starts with conversion. Nothing's going to get sorted out. I mean, all of these media outlets that are so off the rails, you say, what do they need? They need to be converted. You say, what about all of the political personnel that are standing in front of the cameras and advocating all kinds of crazy things? What do they need? They need to be converted. What about all these folks that are doing all these violent things in the neighborhoods, drive-by shootings and robbing the 7-Eleven, etc.? What do they need? They need to be converted. They need to be converted. Now, right side up starts with conversion. You're not going to get anything right until we get that in place. Second thing I want to tell you is right side up has to be done by the book. I'm talking about the Bible. I have in front of me here, most of you have a Bible in your hands, I think, or somebody near you has one. This Bible is inspired of God. It's without error. You can trust everything that it tells you. Everything from Genesis 1:1 to the last amen at the end of Revelation, every word of it, every I is dotted, every T is crossed. It is true, infallibly so. It is the authentic word of God, accurate in every detail, and consequently, totally authoritative. You think about how you build a family. The book has the answer. How do you raise good kids? The book has the answer. How do you go about having church, Brother Russ? The Bible has the answer. You guys and gals that are in business, how do you go about doing business out in the world like it ought to be done? The Bible has the answer. And getting things right side up is by the book. I was preaching the other day down in the Deep South a few weeks ago, and one of the men who will be preaching at the National Sword Conference this year was on the program. He preached in front of me, and he made the statement about when he got converted. He said, when I got converted, he said, I lost half my vocabulary. You say, well, what happened? Well, he read in the Bible somewhere about, that not corrupt communication not coming out of your mouth. And he had gotten saved, and he said, this is the Bible. God said, don't do it. So he stopped doing it, And that's just one little incident of things. But you love it when somebody cleans their mouth up. But all of that, I mean, every little thing, it's what saith the Lord that should govern us. Everything right side up starts with conversion. Everything then gets governed, directed by the book. And by the way, yes, right side up does bring change. It does. I mean, right side up, daddy starts coming home at night. Yeah, starts coming. Right side up, dad and mom are in love with each other. That's right side up. Right side up, there's no stops at the liquor store. No stops at the liquor store. Right side up, the grocery money is not going to be wasted on the lottery. And I said wasted, because that's what happens. When I was pastor in Maryland, I don't know whether they do it here or not, but the lottery, they were always saying, you got to play to win. You got to play to win. I said, what a lie. You got to play to lose, which is what happens with most people. Right side up, that porn shop will be closed. HBO will be off limits. On and on. Those dishonest business deals be a thing of the past when right side up takes hold. Because right side up, that begins with conversion, set in place by the Bible, then it does bring change, and it'll put you at odds with a lot of what's going on in our world. Now, I can tell you, like I told you, I've been saved, been a Christian for a long time. All of my adult life, I have found myself at odds with a lot of stuff in our society. Living in Maryland, very liberal state, some of the folks didn't think when I first got there, that you could get up and talk openly and stuff about things like Pastor and I've been doing this morning, but I did. And they thought it would run everybody off, and honestly, the more I talked about it, the greater the crowds grew. And so right side up does put you at odds with some outfits like the ACLU and a lot of the networks and the politically correct, the woke culture and the cancel culture and a lot of the liberal outfits. It'll put you at odds with them. But I'm telling you, wherever the devil sets up shop, I want it to be known I am not working at that shop. I'm not living with them. I'm not cooperating with them. I want it to be known I'm taking my stand with the Lord, not with the crowd that's running the wrong way. If they're upside down, I don't want to go there. I want to go where it's right side up. But it takes something absolutely supernatural to turn things around. Brother Russ was exactly right. Who could have imagined a year or two ago, and who could have imagined that we would get Roe v. Wade set aside? Now, he's also right, there are battles yet ahead. The battle now is going to be focused on the White House and on the state capitals. And it's going to be a battle. There's going to be a lot of it ahead. But we've been at it for a long time, and we're not about to quit now. As long as there's one little baby at risk, we're going to be still screaming what it is, bloody murder. Now, right side up gets engineered when we have supernatural might at work. Reformation is nothing but a band-aid. Regeneration is the cure. Religion is a surface issue But redemption that the Lord gives, I mean, it creates a new heart and creates a new way of life. And whenever you and I get the gospel business in high gear and start taking it to the folks out there who are upside down, oh, sure, some of them are going to say, oh, you folks are creating an issue. They'll make accusations against you. They'll call you names, whatever. But you must not be intimidated by that. You have to know you're upside right side up, not upside down, and be motivated to have the heart and the vision to do the things that God has laid out that we ought to do. Right side up is a good thing. Right side up feels good. Right side up has good consequences. Right side up, what a blessing. Just a few weeks ago, maybe 6 weeks ago now, I have a nephew who's in the Navy. He's finishing his 4 years, second day of the month, next week actually. But he was home for a leave, and so I had said to my sister and my siblings and their families and my children and our grandchildren, I said, why don't we just convene at our house and we'll have a meal, and while Will isn't home, we'll do a little celebrating. And you know, we gathered everybody in, and some of the folks, we don't see them often, maybe once or twice a year, so it's not like we just have buddy-buddy friendships with them all the time. But they gathered in, and I think the gathering started at 11 o'clock. Actually, as I think about it, it was on Memorial Day now, so it's been a better part of 2 months. And they gathered in about 11 a.m., and the last ones left to go home like at 7 or 7:30 that night. So, I mean, it was an all-day deal. Some left a little earlier, but still there was folks there in the house the whole day. We ate a big lunch together and had leftovers, and everybody ate again a second time. But as we were all getting ready to leave, we'd been at the piano there singing for hours on end and playing games and just having a big time. And I said to some of the folks who left last, I said, you know, it's absolutely phenomenal. Everybody who arrived came to the meeting, appeared to be happy. Here we've been together all this time. There's been no shouting, no fussing, no yelling, no screaming, no ugly incidents, and everybody is leaving happy, maybe even happier. Now you say, how in the world does that happen? It happens the very way that I've described to you here. A bunch of folks who've been born again, they've been converted. And they're living by the book. Now, does that mean everybody's perfect? No, none of us are. None of us are. None of us. Not a one of us. But at the same time, I'm just telling you, right side up feels good, and it works good. And it works because God is in it, because God sets some parameters. God sets some principles for us to work with, and it puts things in good form. It'll just make a difference in your family. It'll make a difference in your business. It'll make a difference in everything you are, everything you touch. Now, remember, out there, there's a lot of folks upside down. They don't know it. They just think their upside down is normal. But whenever we begin to introduce right side up to them, they may be a little bug-eyed at first. But if they sign on at point number one, get converted, all at once they'll begin to say, I don't know what I was thinking. Over the years, I've seen some folks who got converted at age 45 or 50 or 55. I've heard them say over and over and over again, Pastor, I don't know why. I didn't know what I was missing. I didn't know. I was just doing something, and it just didn't make sense to me until I saw the Lord and understood what the Lord could do for me. And their whole life reflected that something good had really indeed happened with them. Folks, they may say to you, you're turning our world upside down. No, their old way without the Lord is upside down. But when we bring them to Christ, it gets them right side up. And I'm telling you, right side up is a good deal. It's a good deal. Now, if you've come into this building today and you don't know the Lord, let me ask you, let us help you find the Lord today. There's no reason why that you can't have everything I've talked about. It's not going to cost you a penny. It's not going to cost you a dime. Nobody's going to assess you a fee for coming to Christ. Jesus already paid everything that is owed so that all of us can be saved. It's not a matter of, well, you guys, you know, no, we're not special characters. We're somebody for whom Jesus died, and so are you. Every person who walks through these doors can have everything the Lord offers. And you can have it because he's already bought and paid for it. And if you don't have that settled, listen, in just a moment there's going to be some music. And when that music begins, if you'll slip out and find your way down here, there'll be some folks, men and ladies alike, who'll be down here to help you. They'll show you exactly how to go about making this choice for Christ and getting it done according to the Bible. And if there's some of you that are here, you've already been saved, but you're not a member here and you want to be, come down here and tell the pastor you want to make this your church home. And if you need to follow the Lord in baptism or whatever, come and talk to him about it. All right? Let's stand up and we'll pray together. Heads are bowed for just a moment to pray. How many of you, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, but how many of you just with the uplifted hand who would say, there's some things I need to get set right in my life, and if you would, just remember to pray for me. You'd slip your hand up and just say, pray for me. God's talking to me. God bless you, folks. God bless you. God bless you, every one of you. Thank you. Now, dear Lord, you've seen the hands of the folks who said they have special issues or needs or burdens. I do pray for each one of them. I pray, dear Lord, even though I don't know their names, I pray that you would help them to know that they too can set things right side up, whatever it is that may be lacking, whatever the need may be, whatever the burden they carry, you can help them to get it right side up. And I do pray for them, and I ask you, Lord, to help them today to make the choice that they need to make that will get things in the right place. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll move in a special way, stir us in our hearts, and help us today that we'll do what we need to do, every single one of us. And Lord, if there's the least little thing that needs to be set aright, I pray that it will be done in Jesus' precious name. The music begins, the altar's open, and as...